Hi, folks. Bob Main here with another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. Episode number 305 of a very practical show because, guess what, folks? It's done by a practical everyday guy like me. When I started this show over 5 years ago, I was just an ordinary dude talking about something I really loved. It was kind of like a newfound hobby and a newfound extracurricular activity for me. I was competitive shooter, and I had just gotten my concealed carry license, and you know what? It's been a journey ever since. I've become a little bit more than just an ordinary guy carrying a gun, but you know what? Deep down inside this heart, inside this human being, is just still that same ordinary, everyday human being that believed in my Second Amendment right to protect myself because, hey, you know what? I'm a right-to-life person. I believe that everybody has a right to life. I don't believe that a bad guy has the right to take it away from me. So inside of me, that's just still who I am, and hopefully that's still the same guy that comes out. Here we are, 305 episodes later. So this is after Christmas. This is actually still December 2014 at the time of this recording. Let me wish you a Happy New Year. You might be not listening to this till 2015. I don't know, but still, Happy New Year. Happy New Year to all of you, and I hope that it's a good year. And boy, I sure hope I have a better year. Anyway, we'll get to that later. Okay, this episode, I want to talk about apartment guns and safes. Now, why am I talking about these two episodes, or these two subjects? Well, first of all, because of my cancer treatments, I have been forced to stay in the area. And so I had to rent a furnished corporate apartment. So I've got this home away from home, sort of, because they wanted me to be within about 30 miles of their hospital and their treatment facility for a lot of reasons. So it's been a long time, been many years, folks, since I have had to make my dwelling, even though this is temporary, in a two-bedroom apartment. Now, I'm not picking on anybody that lives in an apartment, because, hey, for many years, I lived in an apartment. For a long time. And, you know, to go from a decent-sized home, I don't have a big home, but I got a decent-sized home in San Antonio. For my small family, it's just me and my wife and my son and our little dog. You know, to go from that decent-sized four-bedroom house to a two-bedroom, less than 1,000-square-foot apartment, it's quite a change. Quite a change. But, you know, I didn't want to come here and not have any means of protection. So, of course, I brought guns. Now, I think it's a different dynamic when you have a gun and have to keep a gun safe and so forth in apartments. Now, here's what I'm talking about. As far as gun safes in your apartment, probably no difference. It'd be the same as a gun safe that you would have in your home, except you'd have to probably get pretty creative, if it's a large gun safe, to maybe find a place to put it. And I'm going to talk a little bit about handgun safes, and I'm going to talk a little bit about long gun safes, or both. That's coming up in this episode. In fact, let me go ahead and talk about safes, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about the different dynamics of being in an apartment. Because a listener did call in. Let's go ahead and listen to his voicemail. A listener called in to ask about safes, and then I'll make a comment on that.
Hey, Bob. This is Brian out in Atlanta, Georgia. And I just wanted to call and ask you a question, get your opinion on what you think about gun safes. I've been listening to you for a while now, and I can't recall you really ever going into any detail or depth about any gun safes that you recommend or what your opinion is. You know, kind of what you think about what kind of size to look for in a gun safe, what features it should have, different things like that, any particular brand that you prefer. Just kind of your opinion and your thoughts. I'm kind of curious to see what you have to say about it. Anyway, keep up the good work. I love listening to your shows. And keep up the good fight. We're all praying for you. We're all pulling for you. And we know you're going to pull through. Take care and talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, Brian, thanks for calling that in. You're correct. I have never spent much time talking about safes. There's a few episodes, older episodes, where I discussed storing handguns and storing rifles and things like that. So, safes, here we go. First of all, pistol safes. I am a huge fan of the style of pistol safe, sort of like a gun vault safe. I don't know if you're familiar with gun vault. I have experience with this type of a pistol safe. You can bolt these to the wall. You can bolt them to the floor. You can bolt them to a piece of furniture. What's really cool is they're not very big. You know, they don't stand very tall. And you basically hit some buttons with your fingers to open the safe. You can get the type that are not audible. I would recommend do not get an audible version. In other words, you don't want to make any noise. You don't want to hear that little beep, 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 beep when you open up your safe. I mean, if you got somebody coming in your house, that's a tip-off that you're already going into your safe. I don't like those. Try to get... Now, you know, Gun Vault makes some pretty good stuff. That's just one brand that I know a little bit about. As far as recommending you a different brand or what brand you should get, I'm going to leave that up maybe to some other listeners. So I'm going to invite some other listeners to call in if you have experience with handgun safes. Now we're talking about a certain brand. But what I like about the Gun Vaults is that they're sturdy. You can also get them biometric, so they recognize your fingerprints. That's another thing you can do. They're more expensive, but you can get them that way as well. The other thing that is neat about these is most of them will store a couple of decent-sized handguns. So what size? I like safes that are bigger than just storing one handgun. I didn't really say that right. I like safes that will store more than one handgun. Doesn't mean that I'll always put more than one handgun in it, but I like them that size. The one I'm looking at on the internet, I'll put a link in the show notes, is 12 inches wide, 8 inches deep, 5 inches high. It's not bad. Only weighs 9 pounds. That's not bad either. Okay? But I can get a couple of good handguns in there. Now, I have one handgun safe that's actually got a shelf in it. It's a lot bigger than this one here. It's bigger than 12 by 8 by 5. I really like those. I really like those because it separates those guns easily. So, you know, depending on which gun that I want to reach for, you know, and of course you got to memorize where the gun is that you want to reach for. So, something about gun safes. Here's something I don't know if you ever thought about. Just personal opinion of mine. Put the gun in the same spot in the same safe every time. I'll say that again. Put the gun in the same spot in the same safe every time. Why? Well, think about it. It's just like when you're carrying the gun. Same holster, same place, every time. Because your memory is going to be trained to retrieve that gun right there at that spot. So when you need it the most, there it is in the safe. The same place you've always put it, the same place every single time that it's been. Think about that. And it could be really dark in your house. And you're scared. So when it's dark and you're scared, all kinds of crazy things happen. Pick a safe, pick something like that, and same place every single time. Very important. I use my gun safes to keep, to store other things other than guns. I do not like, for handguns, I do not like the type of safes with a keypad on the front of it or even anything you have to insert a key or turn any kind of a knob. I don't like that. The reason I don't like that, well, maybe you can guess. Maybe you can guess why I don't like that. You know, the strong box type. I don't like that. Because it's too hard to open. It's too hard to quickly get to. A stack-on makes some nice safes as well. I got a stack-on quick access safe. That's what it was. That's the brand name I'll put in the show notes as well. That's the one with the shelf that I really like. It was only about $89, and it's 10 inches wide, 12 and a half inches deep, 8 1/4 high, and it's got a nice shelf in it. Anyway, getting back to what I was saying, this thing can't be real hard to open. You got to have quick access here. You're not going to have time to be punching in a code, turning a knob, sticking a key in. Forget that stuff. Those are decent safes, you know. I mean, those would make good long gun safes, you know, something with a combo on it and something that you have to turn. Very sturdy. If you're just going to be storing guns in there that you don't need to get quick access to. But if these are self-defense guns, home defense guns, you got to be able to get in there quickly. Now, there are some fancy safes that you can walk up to and you can get into it in less than 2 seconds, and it looks like it has a keypad. But there's an easy way for you, the owner, to just get in there quickly if you have to access it. Fine. That's okay. But I'm talking about a pistol safe, one that's typically kept by your bed, bolted to a piece of furniture, behind a piece of furniture, in a closet, stuff like that. So that's what I'm discussing right now on handgun safe. Stack-On makes a good one. Gun Vault makes a decent one. But remember, same safe, same place every time, especially for your home defense pistol. Now, there's a Stack-On also makes a inside-the-wall pistol, kind of a security cabinet. That's kind of cool. It's not the one I'm looking at. It's not real quick access, but if you just need to store a gun in there, you can also put one inside in a wall and then maybe put a piece of furniture above it, or excuse me, in front of it or something like that to kind of disguise it a little bit. You know, it's an option. It's an option, one of these inside-the-wall security cabinets, but not an option that I'm real crazy about, not a defensive handgun. Again, I'm going to get to the long gun safes in just a minute here. Now, under the car seat safes, there are plenty of good safes made, and I'm just going to let you Google that. And Google under the car seat safes. And a lot of people like to have a safe, you know, when they're traveling with their pistol and they want, for some reason, if they have to leave their vehicle or whatever, they want to be able to stick some kind of a gun safe inside the car or under the seat or things like that. I mean, again, I'll refer you to Gun Vault. Gun Vault has one called the Nano Vault, which is pretty good. There are a couple different versions of the Nano Vault with a combination lock. Again, this is what I would use if I'm going to leave that pistol in the car, unattended, unloaded, of course, and you just don't want it to get stolen if somebody busts in. So that's also something to consider for an inside-the-car safe. Now, I've seen a lot of people that keep their handguns and their long guns in the same safe. They got these huge, massive safes, and they keep them both together. That's fine. That's fine, but boy, I've seen a lot of them cluttered. And I'm just going to say this. It is nice to have that many guns, isn't it? Right? I mean, isn't that great? It's nice to have that many guns where you're cluttering a safe. I'm just saying, if these guns are going to be used for quick access, defensive purposes, and it's that cluttered, you could be creating some problems. So when it comes to safes, in my opinion, declutter, declutter, declutter. And I would not suggest keeping anything in there but your defensive gun. So if you want to get another safe to keep jewelry in or money or knives or any other kind of valuables, I would suggest another safe for those items. Again, you want to make this as dummy proof and as easy and quick access. The purpose of safes like this, for people who might be new, the purpose of safes like these is to keep them away from people who shouldn't have access to those guns, but to give you quick and easy access so you can defend yourself. Now, something just came to mind I've got to talk about. Please do not rely on these safes as a way to keep guns safe from kids. I'll say that again. Please do not rely solely on a safe to keep guns out of the hands of children. Yes, they're good for that. So I don't want to be misquoted here. I don't want to be on record, you know, saying something that I didn't say. If you have kids in the home, you should have your guns in safes. Don't just rely on that. Safes can fail. Plain and simple. They're a mechanical device. They can fail. You know, you don't kid-proof your guns. You gun-proof your kids. Okay, I didn't make that saying up. Lots of people have said that, but it's true. You don't kid-proof guns. You don't try to keep them kid-proof by sticking them in a safe and putting 18,000 different locks on them and combinations and things, thinking that, oh, the kids will never get them in here. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. That's not the safest way. You need to gun-proof your children. I've done a whole podcast on that. Okay, which is basically training kids, teaching them the responsibility, the power, and exactly what guns are all about and taking away that curiosity and things. And it works. It works. It works. It works. So please do both. That came to mind and I had to throw that in there. And, you know, I'd be kicking myself if I published this podcast and didn't talk about that. Now, let's talk a little bit about long gun safes. There are these big long gun biometric safes, and those are cool. There's a lot of big rifle and shotgun safes that do have biometrics, so I'll put some links in the show notes for some of those. I'm a big fan of biometric safes. They're more money. I mean, let's face it, they're more money. But the technology is great, and they just simply, you know, can't be beat. I mean, now, these big, huge, long gun safes, you know, they can be anywhere from, I've seen them as little as $300 or $400, which I'm not quite sure if I'd trust one of those, all the way up to, I know somebody that's got a $3,000 safe in his home. And I'm sure you can spend a lot more than that. Some of the Fort Knox safes and everything are probably a whole lot more than that. That really depends. You know, I don't know how many guns you own. I don't know how many guns that you want to secure. As you know, most of these safes, you get what you pay for to a certain extent. Okay? Now, a long gun that I'm going to use for self-defense is going to have to be, again, quick access. So make sure that there's some kind of biometric or easy-to-push buttons on that safe so you can get that thing open quickly and in a hurry. Otherwise, you're just storing guns in there just for a place to store them. That's my opinion when it comes to long gun safes and, you know, rifle, where people call them rifle and shotgun safes, hunter safes, things like that. Now, something you have to also consider is the fire rating of your safe, both pistol safes and long gun safes. So, you know, I've seen them rated as little as like a 40-minute fire all the way up to a 2.5-hour fire. And I've seen different heat thresholds and everything that safes can endure. Liberty safes, of course, most of us know who they are. I mean, they have, if you go to their website, libertysafe.com, and again, they're not sponsors. I'm not really endorsing them. I'm just kind of passing out information. But they've got some interesting stuff on there about fire ratings and how well that they're going to stand up to fire and so forth. And you can put all kinds of things besides just your guns, obviously, in those safes. And a lot of people want to use those safes for that reason. As a matter of fact, I have known people that have purchased something like a big, huge rifle and shotgun safe, and there might be two long guns in there and a whole bunch of other valuables. I think that's kind of neat. But, you know, but speaking of things like fire rating, I mean, there are safes that, you know, can withstand 1200 to 1500 degree 75 minute fire and things like that. A lot of it's just pretty much all about what you want to spend. So, Brian, hopefully I'm answering your question. You know, I'm giving you some things to think about. But again, I'm a big fan of easy access only by you. That's one important thing. Easy access only by you. That's all I'm going to say pretty much about safes right now. Check out some of the web links. Go to handgunworld.com for this episode. I'm going to put some show notes and there'll be some links. And some of these safes, hey, do me a favor. If you're going to invest in one of these safes, especially some of these pistol safes, and you're going to have it shipped to you, well, see if it's available on Amazon and please use my Amazon store. You can support my show and check out, compare the prices to some of the other places that you're shopping. Just go to handgunworld.com, click the Amazon store, and use my link. All right, now let's talk about guns and apartments, since I'm being cooped up in this little cage here. Come on, folks, it's different, man. When you go from living in a four-bedroom home and you have to stick yourself in a two-bedroom, less than 1,000-square-foot apartment, it feels like a cage. God, we're spoiled, aren't we? Aren't we spoiled? I'm spoiled. You know, I got to take a time out here and I got to explain something to you. I am such a blessed person. I got a great Christmas gift. I got to talk to you about a Christmas gift I got. I got let out of the hospital and I got to be with my family. That is the best gift that I could have received. God made that happen. You know, and that's all I need. That's all I need really is a roof over my head, food to eat, and to be with family. So, I'm good. Everything else is extra. Seriously. Boy, I tell you what, this cancer fight has sure changed my attitude on a lot of things. If I got a roof over my head, food to eat, and my family, I feel I'm blessed and life is good. Everything else is extra. So I'm kind of joking when I say I have to sit inside this little box called a two-bedroom apartment. Let's not get too spoiled, okay? All right, let's just not get too spoiled. Just think about that. Count your blessings. All right, but it is a different dynamic here in an apartment. And I know that those of you who live in apartments, your ears are probably perking up right now because you know this to be true. You know it's a lot different. When you're in these apartments, first of all, hey, you know, the walls are just so much thinner, period. That's just the way it is. The doors, the interior walls. So you got to think about, what if you had to shoot inside your apartment? Everything's thinner. Most things are closer together. So bullets that miss, stray bullets that don't hit their target. You and your family and everything else in your house are so, you know, smashed together so much, so compact. You got to think about that. You got to think about that. You know, if you miss, you got to think a little bit more here, a little bit more about overpenetration, I guess. You know, also too, if you know, what happens to that bullet when it leaves your apartment? Okay, where is it going to go? Let me pause for a second. Okay, you know, where is it going to go when it leaves your apartment? Not that you don't consider that. In a house, you do. But in an apartment complex, you got all these people around. Upstairs, next to you, downstairs, just across the courtyard. There's so many people jammed into such a close area. Wow, that changes the whole thing, doesn't it? If you're thinking about shooting lanes, well, yeah, apartment dynamics change that big time because you know, you're going to miss. Or your bullet might over-penetrate, and then what's going to happen to it? And where's it going to go? So, wow, it's a big deal. It's a big deal inside of an apartment. You got to really, well, you just got to really, really be paying attention. I mean, not that you shouldn't pay attention otherwise. Don't get me wrong. Please don't think that I'm making light of paying attention to what happens if you have to press the trigger on your firearm, because that is a big, 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 big deal. And you could end up going to prison for the rest of your life if you don't do things correctly. Take a Mag 40 course or just watch the news. You'll understand what I'm talking about. So all these things come into play. You also have to kind of think about, since an apartment is a more compact place, if a bad guy comes in here, the bad guy's probably going to have easier access and quicker access to me than if I was in my home. You know, let's say he's coming in my front door. Well, if I'm picturing my home right now, if he's coming in my front door, he's got a ways to travel before he gets to my bedroom. Okay? Now, the farther he has to travel, the more time I've got to execute my plan, get my firearm, take care of business. Inside of an apartment, not so much, is it? I'm a lot closer to the front door inside this apartment if I'm in my bed sleeping. Or even if I'm just hanging out watching TV, I'm real close to the front door. Same with my back door at my house. I'm picturing my back door in my mind right now. It's closer to my bedroom than the front door is. But you know what? The back door or the side door of this apartment is ridiculously close. Doesn't give me much time at all. Doesn't give me much time at all. So that's where one of these really quick access safes is so important. You know, if you live in an apartment and things are compact in size and area, and you've got your gun inside of a safe that's hard to get to, and it'll take you several seconds, that's probably way too much time. Hate to say this, but You're probably toast by that point. Okay, another thing about an apartment is you need to read your rental agreement or lease agreement. Some apartment complexes have language in there about firearms. This one I'm in does not. I don't think any of them should. I think that's unconstitutional. You're talking about a person's dwelling. You're talking about their castle. They should be able to protect their home any way they see fit. But, hey, people don't always follow the law, do they? And they can get away with a lot of things, especially when it comes to firearms. Even in the USA. Hey, I have news for all my international listeners. Even here in the USA, we got some crazy gun laws on the books here. You might think that we're a real gun-friendly country, and for the most part we are, but we got some crazy stuff happening. And there are apartment complexes that will try to write into their lease restrictions about firearms. So read that carefully. And if they've got some restrictions about firearms, I would not live there. Plain and simple. But they've been known to do it. Next, regarding guns in apartments, it begs the question, well, how many guns should you have? Well, whether you live in a home, a castle, an apartment, or under a bridge, there's no answer to how many guns should you own. You should never be restricted to how many guns you own, okay? I'll say that again. You should never be restricted to how many guns you can own. Oh, Bob, my state says I can't do this, can't do that. Yeah, I know. I know that some of you live in oppressive states that say you can't do certain things or even own certain types of firearms. That's terrible. That's bad. That's bad news, folks, if you live in that kind of a state. You know, forget your states. I don't care about what your state law says. It's all unconstitutional stuff. When you're in an apartment, because your space is limited, it might limit how many you choose to own, however. So you might limit yourself. Nobody should ever limit you. No government, no city, no apartment complex, nothing should ever limit you. But you might choose to limit yourself based on how much usable and actual space you have in your apartment and how much storage space and where you can put these firearms and things like that. So think about it. You're going to be limited probably by circumstance more than anything else when you're in an apartment. And some of you might even live in a smaller place than what I'm temporarily, thank God, temporarily in here, which is a two-bedroom, two-bath, a little bit less than 1,000 square feet. Looks like I'm probably going to be back and forth for the next few months with these treatments that I've got going on. Now, the next thing I'm going to say, I don't want it to be misconstrued as me recommending that you have a limit to what you can do or what you can own in an apartment. But you got to think about your whole apartment complex as a whole. You got to think like a bad guy for a minute. You got to think about how something might go down. You might want to think about how the stink goes down when there's a bad guy doing something in an apartment complex versus a residential neighborhood full of homes. The whole dynamic changes, I think. So you have to analyze what you would need in that situation, okay, or what you can effectively manage in that situation. I shouldn't use the word need because this is not about need, is it? But what can you manage? And I'm talking about AR-15 versus shotgun, for example. Now, many of you probably know what, maybe I think you might think you know what I'm going to say here. You don't need an AR-15 in an apartment complex. Actually, I recommend the opposite. I don't think a shotgun is a very good idea in an apartment complex, especially a 12 gauge with double aught buck, some tactical, really hot loaded double aught copper plated buckshot that can penetrate and doing 1500 feet per second and 9 pellets and all that. Wow, can you imagine how that would just rip up an apartment wall like nobody's business and just keep right on going? And shotguns are not nearly as manageable and usable, in my opinion, in tight quarters and things like that as an AR-15 is. You know, or some type of .223 rifle, a Ruger Mini 14 or something like that, or an AR-15. Folding stock, .223 rifles, stuff like that. Yeah, I think that would be great stuff for apartment living. You know, and if you analyze, because that's what I've been doing since I've been here. I've been analyzing, okay, let's see here. If the crap goes down here around my apartment, how do I think it would happen? Where would these people come from? And as I look at this and I'm planning this out, I'm thinking, this is different. This is quite a bit different than my neighborhood. Quite a bit different than my neighborhood, which is why I've always just been a huge fan of handguns for inside the home self-defense anyway. Handguns, not... I rate a handgun a better inside-the-home self-defense tool than a shotgun or an AR-15. Again, I said inside-the-home self-defense. You get outside the home, the whole game changes. All right? You know, you got inside-the-home, handgun. Get off my front porch, shotgun. Get out of my neighborhood, AR-15. All right? That's how that works. Inside the house, get out of my house, pistol. Oh, you're on my porch. Get off my porch. I got a 12-gauge. Okay, now you're walking down the street and you want to commit some bad stuff. You're going to hurt several families on this street, including my own. I don't think so. AR-15, 308, get out of my neighborhood. Okay, apartment complexes are a little different. A little bit different. Because if I go out the front door, basically, here of this apartment complex, I pretty much only have to walk about 14 feet and I get to another person's front door. Whoa. That's different. That's not the same as if I walk out the front door of my house. I walk out the front door of my house, it takes me a while to get to the street, and then I'd have to get across the street, or the bad guy would have to get across the street. Okay? If he's coming from across the street, much, much bigger distance, much bigger shooting distance, not so much in this corridor here in this apartment complex. So, I'm not going to tell people what pistols I brought to this apartment with me. Of course, and you don't even know where this apartment is, and I'm not going to say it publicly, but I'm just going to say from a maneuverability standpoint and from a planning standpoint and from a standpoint of how the stink might actually go down, how this might all happen, a handgun, plenty of ammo, and a lot of training under my belt, and I think I'm good. I really do. I think I'm good. Because by the time... Well, then these... Here's the other thing. These apartments have these little courtyards, right? At least this one does. It's got this courtyard. It's a big courtyard. It's a big, huge courtyard. Here's the problem. If there's some bad guys in the courtyard and they're shooting at my apartment unit, for example, okay? Let's say they're shooting at my apartment unit and they're coming from the... Or they're shooting from the courtyard. Well, you know the old rule of gun safety. Know your target and what's beyond it. Well, okay, I might know my target. A couple of bad guys in the courtyard shooting at me, but what's beyond it is a whole bunch more apartment buildings and apartments and things like that. Okay? A lot more people than what's across the street from my house. There are other homes and other families across the street from my house. But there's also lanes, there's distances between two homes that maybe I could shoot through that lane or make sure that my shot, you know, I know your target and what's beyond it. And then there's woods past that. So, you know, I could make a better justification for some shots across the street from my house than I could across the courtyard of this apartment. So I sort of feel like a sitting duck in here. I don't like the feeling. I really don't like the feeling. And I've been thinking this and going through this in my mind. And that's one of the things I really don't like about it.
An exciting training opportunity is coming to Sioux Falls on May 16th and 17th, 2015, Beyond Concealed Carry Enhanced. This 16-hour course is designed for the concealed carrier who is slightly more advanced but has never had any formal training outside of the CCW course. We start with the basics of handgun safety and marksmanship and quickly progress to some basic dynamic movement and defensive scenarios. Some scenarios would include shooting from cover and proper use of cover, shooting on the move, shooting steel on the move, defending hallways, one-handed shooting, the art of making hits quickly out of the holster, shooting a hostage taker, and more. You will shoot a minimum of 500 rounds of ammunition. Bring a quality handgun with at least 3 magazines, holster, belt, and magazine pouches. Revolvers and .22 caliber pistols are welcome. Both Bob and Ben are NRA certified pistol instructors and have been for several years. Bob has been the host of the Handgun World podcast for 4 years and has over 120 hours of training under his belt. Ben has several years of Marine combat experience and several years of carrying a gun as an armored car driver. This class will be held in Sioux Falls, May 16th and 17th, 2015, from 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. both days. Cost is $350 per person, or sign up by December 31st and save $50. Look for the training link at handgunworld.com.
Sorry, I accidentally pushed the pause button. It's one of the things I don't like about apartment complexes is it makes you feel like a sitting duck. It kind of makes you feel so enclosed in here. And if I think like a bad guy, I'm thinking there's some easy prey inside this apartment complex. And I don't like that feeling. So if you're going to be in an apartment complex long term, I think you're going to become a different thinker. You're probably going to have different types of firearms. Different types. I'm just saying different types of firearms than maybe somebody that lives in a home. And then, of course, you know, people who live out in the country, it's even different for them. You know, they look at people like me in the suburbs and go, you people, man, you're like sitting ducks in the suburbs there, aren't you? That's what a country person would say to me, right? And that's what I'm saying. I'm a suburban dweller, and I'm saying, boy, these people in apartments, they're like sitting ducks in there. That's a crazy situation. So, see, it's all about perspective. It's all about lifestyle. It's all about what you're used to. But please, plan, 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 train, train, train. Own what you want to own, but just know what you're going to do if the crap hits the fans and you're attacked. And go. So, that's it for this episode. I'm actually feeling pretty decent these days, so I wanted to get this out, and a lot of this stuff was on my mind. Probably in the next episode, I'll give you a little bit more of an update on my situation. I want to say this in closing. There are several ways to support my show if you want to support it. I just did this whole episode here commercial-free. You didn't have to listen to a single commercial. The only way that this show gets supported is by generous listeners like you. Now, Ben Branham from the Modern Self-Protection Podcast, we put together the Shooters Club. The Shooters Club is a collection of videos, good instructional videos. It's not a substitute for training, but it's probably the next best thing. So if you want to see some good instructional videos, all kinds of subjects, I'm not going to give away too many of them on the air, you can get a membership for only $75 a year or $8 a month. That's $75 a year or only $8 per month. You can go to shootersclubmembers.com and sign up, or handgunworld.com and sign up. Okay? shootersclubmembers.com or handgunworld.com. Also, if you got some Christmas money and you want to spend it on Amazon and you're going to buy something, stop. Don't do it. Go over to handgunworld.com. Use my Amazon store. That will help support the show. Also, we've got our classes, most of our classes for 2015 on our websites. When I say we, I'm talking about Ben Branham and myself. I plan on getting through this cancer treatment stuff, the stem cell transplant, and I plan on coming out the other side of this as good as new and getting back into teaching again. And actually training. I'm going to take a couple training classes. I put some firearms goals on my Facebook page. By the way, like my Facebook page. Facebook.com/HandgunWorldPodcast, or just search Handgun World Podcast on Facebook. Like it, please. Take a look at some of the stuff up there. So if you want to sign up for one of our classes, you can find them at HandgunWorld.com as well. Well, thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. You know, it's a treat since it's been so long that I've put a podcast out. It's kind of a treat for me to sit here and dictate this, and hopefully you enjoyed this 305th episode of the Handgun World Podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Main. I'm your host. Okay. The loudest sound a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. Shoot straight, shoot safe. Talk to you next time. Goodbye.